In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'd like to take a point of personal privilege very quickly and thank everyone for your love and care and support of me and my family these past few weeks as I had my surgery and all of that, the cards and notes and phone calls and food, and it's just been overwhelming. And one of the many reasons that I love this community so much, you've taken very, very good care of us, and so I thank you for that very much. Many of you know that when I was in college, I spent a year in West Africa. I was assigned to work in an agricultural training center, and so we were retraining people how to work the land. We had fields, we had a piggery, we had chickens. People were losing those skills because they would move to the city and things like that, and they'd forgotten how to work the land and things like that. So we were teaching people so they could go back to their villages and teach farming and things like that. And I think that I was placed there because I'm from Kansas. We're all farmers in Kansas. And so it was assumed that I knew how to take care of the pigs and grow sweet potatoes and peanuts and things like that. And so having grown up in Topeka, obviously, I learned a heck of a lot very quickly. One of the things that I learned was we had chickens that ran around, and it was so much fun to watch them. And, woke up to the sound of the rooster, who doesn't just crow in the morning, but actually all day long. They go all day. And at night, the chickens would sort of crawl and flutter, because they can't fly, they would sort of crawl and flutter up to a tree to safety, because there were, of course, predators around. Namely, there were very large snakes. That they would have to fight off at night, and being in a tree was safer than being on the ground. But I remember there was one mother hen who had a very large batch of chickens, a very large brood of chickens, baby chickens, and it was so much fun to watch them, the little baby chicks, and watch her teach them, how to find food and all of that. But every night, of course, she couldn't go up to the safety of the tree because she had her little babies. And so there was a corner of a building, and she would scooch them all every evening into this corner and cover them with her body and with her wings, because every night there was a very large cobra that would come and try and get the chicks, the little baby chicks. And there was a huge ruckus sometime in the middle of the night, most every night, of her trying to fight off this large snake. And sometimes the snake would win and sometimes she would win. But it was a very fierce battle every night. And this is always the image that I think of when I hear Jesus and this yearning to gather his people in and protect them like a mother hen protecting her brood. It's such a beautiful and loving image and protective image. I love that image so much. This gospel that we have been given is, we have been hearing Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem to face his, final, the destiny of his ministry, his death and resurrection, and he knows that that's where things are headed. And what we hear, part of what we hear in this is that he and God are in complete control of this agenda, and no one is going to sway him from that. It's on his time schedule, and it's going to happen the way he wants it to play out. And so these Pharisees come to him and say, you should run away because people are trying to get you. And we don't really know why the Pharisees are warning him about this. We don't know if they're actually trying to help him or trap him or whatever. But it doesn't matter because Jesus is solely focused on his plan. He and God have it all laid out, how it's going to play out. And his, what I hear in Jesus' response is sort of frustration. Jerusalem, this beloved city who plays a huge role in the salvation of God's people, you're the one to go and kill prophets, and you screw up all the time, but you're so beloved and precious, and you have this special blessing. But I want to hold you and protect you, but you won't let me do that. You turn away from me. We, like Jerusalem in this image, have a particular place in God's kingdom, a particular job to accomplish in God's kingdom. We as a community, as St. Thomas, we have particular tasks that we are given in order to help usher in God's kingdom. We as individuals have particular tasks. And we as a community sometimes fall short in that, don't we? Just like Jerusalem in this. And I think sometimes God goes, We as a community of St. Thomas have been given blessed with enormous gifts. And we are called and are doing wonderful things in the community when we live into and celebrate those wonderful gifts as a community that we are given, all of the resources that we reach out and we do and minister and help to usher in God's kingdom, that kingdom that looks of justice and of peace and love and grace and welcoming open arms and all of those things that make up the kingdom of God. St. Thomas goes forth and we do those things. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we bicker about things, or we hold on to ministries too tight and we won't let other people be involved, or we don't step up to a ministry that we've said that we were going to do, or we lose sight of, you know, where it is. And those are the times that then we have to come together and say, we're sorry, God. And this is the time of Lent when we do this very thing. We come together to examine our lives and see where it is that we are called to be in God's kingdom and where we are falling short. We do that corporately, and we do it individually. Every single one of us has God-given gifts that God gave to us because they're needed, not so that we can just earn a living or, sort of make our way through the world and things like that. God needs these gifts that we are given to further the kingdom of God, to usher in that glorious kingdom of God. And when we are clicking and good and following that and doing God's work, you can feel it, you know it, and things are good and right, and you're doing God's work, and then we screw up and we don't do that, and we think that we know better than God, or we have different plans than God, or we diminish those gifts and we sort of deny those gifts that we've been given by God. And that is, I think, blasphemous, actually, when we are given gifts by God. I work with teenagers, I tell them this, because it's hard to talk about your gifts that you have and celebrate those God-given gifts. And no, I can't do anything. And, you know, that's God's doing. That is God's hand in your life. And to deny that is to deny the power of God. So during this time of Lent, this is when we examine, what is our particular role individually? What is your particular role? Your gifts, your passions that God has instilled inside of you, that God needs for you to do and accomplish, to begin to usher in the kingdom of God. What is that peace, and where am I falling short in that? And what needs to be done about it? We have these beautiful 40 days to really contemplate that. Because all of us, corporately as a church, every church has its mission and its important place in the kingdom of God. Every individual has their place in the kingdom of God and is needed for particular jobs so that we can go forward boldly and fearlessly doing this work that we know that we are called to do, because we can rest in the knowledge that we are surrounded by these fiercely loving arms. We are those chicks that are that are being surrounded by those fiercely loving arms of God. And then in doing so, knowing that we have that fierce protective love, we can go forth boldly and fearlessly to live out our role in ushering in the kingdom of God. Amen.